This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to recognize when your own blind spots are causing conflict in a negotiation. The conflict you blame on them may have started with you. In short, your negotiation blind spots are unconscious assumptions and emotional reactions that distort what you see at the table. When conflict appears, most people look outward. The harder and more useful question is this: what am I bringing into this room that is making things worse? Blind spots in a negotiation feel like certainty, not confusion. The conflict they create looks like the other party's fault. You can learn to spot the signs before the damage is done. Definition: negotiation blind spots are unconscious biases, assumptions, or emotional reactions that prevent you from accurately reading a negotiation situation. They distort your interpretation of the other party's behavior, cause you to dismiss valid signals, and generate conflict you cannot see yourself creating. You thought the negotiation was going well. Then somewhere around the third session, the other party went quiet. They started repeating themselves. The energy in the room shifted. You told yourself they were being difficult, that they had changed their position, or that they simply were not negotiating in good faith. It is a reasonable conclusion. It is also, very often, the wrong one. Negotiation blind spots are the hardest problems to solve because they do not feel like problems. They feel like clarity. They feel like you finally are understanding what is really going on. That is what makes them dangerous in any negotiation conflict. By the time you suspect one might be at work, the damage is usually underway. What follows are six signs that your own blind spots, not the other party's behavior, are driving the conflict at the table. Why these warning signs are so easy to overlook. Most of us were taught to analyze negotiations from the outside in. We study the other party's position. We map their interests. We anticipate their moves. Almost no one teaches you to turn that same analytical eye on yourself while you are in the room. The other reason blind spots survive so long is that they are self-confirming. You carry an assumption into the room. You filter what you hear through it, and the filtered version of events confirms the assumption. You never see the data that would challenge it. You are not being dishonest. You are just human. Understanding the root causes of workplace tension can help you start to see how much of a conflict's fuel comes from inside the room, not from the stated disagreement itself. Six signs your blind spots are fueling the conflict. 1. You are more certain than the situation warrants. What it looks like. You feel no genuine curiosity about the other party's position. You have already decided what they want, why they want it, and what they are willing to accept. Questions feel like a formality. Why it happens. Preparation is essential in a negotiation, but thorough preparation can harden into premature certainty. The more work you put in before the session, the more committed you become to the picture you built. Why it matters. When you stop being genuinely curious, you stop hearing what is actually being said. You hear a version of it. That version tends to confirm whatever you already believed, and the conflict deepens without either party understanding why. What to do. Before your next session, write down three things you could be wrong about, not things you want to stress test. Things you might genuinely have wrong. If you cannot think of three, that is the sign. Here is the truth of it. I spent years walking into rooms fully prepared and completely blind. Preparation is confidence fuel, but it can also be a set of blinkers. 2. You dismiss their concerns faster than you can explain why. What it looks like, the other party raises an objection, and you are already formulating your response before they have finished speaking. Their concern feels thin to you, even illegitimate. Why it happens. This is often a form of reactive devaluation, a well-documented pattern, where we instinctively discount proposals or concerns simply because they come from the opposing side of the table. It is not a character flaw. It is a cognitive habit. Why it matters. When the other party notices their concerns are being dismissed, they do not conclude you are a strong negotiator. They conclude you are not listening. They dig in. The conflict escalates, and you have no idea you started it. What to do? Try this discipline. Before responding to any concern, repeat it back in your own words and ask, is that a fair summary? It slows you down long enough to actually hear it. After decades of getting this wrong, I now treat speed of dismissal as a warning sign. If a concern feels easy to bat away, I pay more attention to it, not less. 3. You are reading silence as hostility. What it looks like. The other party pauses before responding, gives a short answer, or stops elaborating. You interpret this as resistance, bad faith, or a power move. Why it happens in a negotiation conflict? We are wired to read ambiguous signals as threats. Silence is inherently ambiguous. Under pressure, we resolve that ambiguity in the direction of danger. Why it matters. If you respond to silence as though it were aggression, you will behave aggressively in return. You will push when the other party was simply thinking. You will force a confrontation that did not need to happen. If you have ever felt like a negotiation suddenly hardened for no reason, check whether you misread a pause. What to do? When you feel the urge to fill silence or escalate your position, wait a count of five. Ask a neutral, open question instead. What would be most helpful to work through next? 4. You keep returning to your original position without knowing why. What it looks like, you've offered what look like concessions, but somehow the conversation keeps ending up back at your starting point. You frame it as principled consistency. The other party experiences it as immovability. Why it happens? Positional bargaining is a deeply ingrained habit. We anchor to a number or a term and defend it as though retreating from it means losing ground, even when the stated position was never the real interest beneath it. Why it matters. This pattern does not just stall negotiations. It convinces the other party that no genuine movement is possible, and they begin to disengage. What looks like a conflict about terms is often a conflict about trust. They no longer believe a real agreement is available. What to do? Ask yourself what interest your position is protecting. Then ask whether there is another way to protect that interest that you have not yet named out loud. The deal method is a practical framework for getting beneath positions and addressing what is actually driving the conflict. 5. You feel disproportionately frustrated. What it looks like. The level of frustration you feel in the room does not match the stated difficulty of the issue. A small point of disagreement produces a large emotional reaction in you. Why it happens. This is almost always a sign that an unmet need or an old emotional trigger has been activated. The current negotiation has touched something that predates this conversation entirely. You are reacting partly to the present and partly to a pattern from your past. Why it matters. Disproportionate frustration is visible. The other party reads it and they respond to it. They become guarded. They stop offering alternatives. The conflict tightens and neither of you can name what is actually happening, because the real source is invisible to both of you. What to do? When you notice the frustration rising faster than the situation justifies, name it privately first. I am more activated than this issue warrants. What is this actually touching? That question alone can interrupt the spiral. Understanding how unmet needs drive conflict gives you a language for what is happening beneath your reaction. I've called recess in negotiations because I felt something in me that I did not trust. It is not a weakness. It is the most practical thing you can do. 6. You are focused on being right rather than on reaching agreement. What it looks like. You spend more energy proving that your position is correct than exploring whether there is a workable outcome for both parties. Winning the argument has quietly replaced closing the gap. Why it happens. This is the counterintuitive one. It often happens to people who are genuinely skilled negotiators because their competence has become part of their identity. Being wrong at the table feels like a professional failure. Why it matters. When your goal shifts from agreement to validation, you are no longer negotiating. You are debating. The other party feels it. They stop trying to problem solve with you because they sense you are not actually interested in their perspective. The conflict becomes irresolvable because resolution would require you to be wrong about something. What to do? Ask yourself, honestly, whether you'd rather leave with a good agreement or leave having been right. If the answer is genuinely unclear, slow the session down. The core framework can help you stay grounded where ego and outcomes start to compete inside you. The pattern that produces all of these signs. These 6 signs look different on the surface. 1 is about certainty. 1 is about frustration. 1 is about silence. But they share a single root. You have lost contact with the other party's actual experience of the negotiation. When that contact goes, you stop receiving real information. You process your own assumptions instead of their signals. You make moves based on a picture of the negotiation that only exists in your head. And because the picture feels completely real, the conflict feels completely external. The technical term for this negotiation is perspective collapse, the point at which you can no longer genuinely inhabit the other party's position long enough to understand it. Conflict does not create prospective collapse. Prospective collapse creates conflict. A diagnostic you can run before your next session. Read each statement. Answer yes or no, honestly. I can name at least two things the other party might want that I have not directly addressed. I noticed at least one moment in the last session where I may have dismissed a concern too quickly. I can describe the other party's underlying interest, not just their stated position. I felt frustrated in the last session at a level that surprised me. There was a moment in the last session where I pushed forward when I could have paused. I have asked the other party at least one genuine question in the past two sessions. I could be wrong about at least one assumption I brought into these talks. Scoring. If you answered no to three or more of these, your blind spots are likely influencing the conflict more than the other party's behavior is. If you answered no to five or more, the conflict may be largely of your own making, and the most direct repair available is also within your control. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where to start when you recognize one of these signs? You do not need to overhaul your entire approach. You need one move. The most useful first move is also the simplest. Stop and ask a genuine question about the other party's concern rather than responding to it. Not a clarifying question designed to expose a weakness in their position. A real question, asked because you want to understand. That single shift, practiced consistently, begins to rebuild the contact that blind spots destroy. If the conflict has already created a genuine breakdown in the working relationship around the table, the bridge method offers a structured path for rebuilding trust before you attempt to resume substantive negotiation. For conflicts that have surfaced through feedback processes, resolving disagreements about feedback follows similar principles, name the pattern, not just the problem. And when two parties have stopped cooperating altogether, diffusing tension between colleagues who refuse to work together gives you a concrete method for reopening the channel. What you can see now that you could not before. The most important thing a diagnostic like this gives you is not a list of faults. It gives you a place to look that you were not looking before. Most negotiators spend their preparation time studying the other party. Very few spend any time studying themselves. When you take your negotiation blind spot seriously, you do not weaken your position at the table. You strengthen it. Because you start receiving accurate information again, you make better reads. You respond to what is actually happening rather than to the story your assumptions are telling you. That is not a soft skill. That is the foundation of every agreement worth having. Frequently asked questions. What are negotiation blind spots? Negotiation blind spots are unconscious biases, assumptions, or emotional reactions that distort how you read a situation at the table. They cause you to misread the other party, dismiss valid signals, and escalate conflict without realizing you are the source of it. How do negotiation blind spots cause conflict? Negotiation blind spots cause conflict by making you respond to a version of the situation that does not exist. You hear resistance when the other party is simply asking for clarity. You read silence as hostility. These misreadings harden positions and stall progress. How do you identify your own blind spots in a negotiation? You identify your blind spots by watching your own reactions, where you dismiss concerns quickly, where you feel certain without evidence, and where you feel disproportionately frustrated. A short diagnostic checklist reviewed before or after a session can surface patterns you would otherwise miss. Can blind spots in a negotiation be fixed once conflict has started? Yes, but it requires you to pause rather than push forward. Naming your assumption out loud, asking a genuine question about the other party's concern, and slowing the conversation down are all first moves that interrupt the conflict cycle before it becomes an impasse. What is the most common blind spot in a negotiation conflict? The most common blind spot is assuming that the other party's resistance is about the issue on the table. Most resistance in a negotiation is about something beneath the surface, an unmet need, a fear of loss, or a concern they have not yet found the words to express. How do I know if I'm causing conflict in a negotiation? Watch for these signals. The other party grows quieter, not louder. They begin to repeat themselves. They stop offering alternatives. You feel increasingly certain you're right. These are signs that your negotiation blind spots may be driving the conflict rather than their position. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.